This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The drive.
Oh, like, man, here. Like peanuts popcorn. God,
I got to hear his home run call. I feel like Luke's home run call is subdued. I feel like it's like a... I guess maybe if he gets real excited, I feel like he's more of a, and that's gone.
And that one's out of here, folks.
And that one's out of here.
Like the old boy off Major Leagues. I don't know if that was.
I can hear him. That ball is hammered to right field, and it's out of here. It's his third homer of the season.
Well, that one soars over the left center wall, and he rounds the bases and gets to home plate.
I love it, man. Damn. I sat here the other day and worked with him. He sounds like he is about to, I mean, like he is sitting there doing the show with a scorecard right there.
When he's driving, it is blatantly obvious there's some history there.
There is a damn minor league position somewhere is ready for it. I don't know who is doing it in Sugarland, but I'll be damned. Somebody might want to take out Luke. Just give Luke a listen there.
Well, this city. I mean, we got whether it's college ball of all sorts or pro ball of any level. I mean, that man ought to be working somewhere.
Yeah, that was good, man.
Ball and a half.
That, like, when you know it's in you, when you just can't talk, when you just talk regularly and you just sound like you're about to call balls and strikes in regular conversation.
The best thing is Luke's got those. He's got one liners that you can tell were dug up and practiced and you know. And he as we're doing radio, he says it like, I can't remember who says it, like, oh, so and so said, you can't run a marathon until you get them Band-Aids on your nipples.
What he said?
Yeah, it's one of them.
Do you get those Band-Aids on your nipples? Ball one.
he had one today, but I can't even remember what it was too.
Well, it's pickup lines. Hey. Hey, how's it going? Nice to meet you.
Can I buy you a drink?
Like to buy you a drink? We've got plenty of options here. Would you like to go with the ice cold beer? Next drink, maybe? Maybe a margarita? They've got them frozen.
Fellow that works here was telling me how good the old fashioned are.
Oh, man. Shout out to Luke and Lopez and Figgy as they just got done. But no, fresh off a great, I wouldn't say great, actually. A solid weekend, March Madness. I was a bit disappointed until we ran into finally a buzzer beater, Maryland against Colorado State, and we saw some madness there, both back and forth. So I felt good because I did pick Maryland to get past in that game. But I want to start here, though, fellas. Are y'all a bit disappointed, people, on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, those of you on YouTube and Twitch? Any disappointment in kind of the lack of madness, the lack of upsets, the lack of Cinderella? Again, the Arkansas Razorbacks with John Calipari. You know how talented a group that he brought in. A lot of those kids.
They got a lot of talent there. Money can get you there.
That is winners.
But that's the Cinderella. There's no team left in the field that is outside of the power conferences. And, I mean, everybody's either, you know, obviously Duke's the only one from the ACC, but the SEC and the Big Ten and the Big 12, they're all power conference teams. Any disappointment, no Cinderella.
Oh, I have no disappointment.
You're good with it. Huh?
I have none. I'm good with the Hogs being that Cinderella, or a lot of folks saying no way with that kind of money, that kind of roster, and that coach can't be a Cinderella, even though the man did it. I mean, last time I heard him talk before the season started, he took over a program that had one player left. Everybody left when he got that money.
Y'all know I love Arkansas.
But old Tyson stepped up and gave him that $5 million check, and he went shopping and brought him in there. So, no, I'll be honest with you. My sister-in-law got married this weekend, and when you're that close to the family, it's rehearsals. I got my wife's in it. My mother-in-law's in it. By the way, Cindy Lewis, she's out there listening, coming through Houston. Did a tremendous job. Tremendous job. I didn't get to see a lot. I did not get to see a whole hell of a lot. I saw the bits and pieces of the Arkansas game, you know, through a 1 and a 3-year-old screaming at me from the couch, wanting to watch Peppa Pig, and I was taking up their time. But I damn sure didn't get to catch a lot of the other games. Once that old 4-leg parlay hit before I left,
yours hit
before I left. Twin Peaks at night, and then other than the Hogs, I hadn't got to see a whole lot of it.
Yeah, listen, I'm not as someone said here on the text line. Tournament has been good, has been great and exciting so far. There has been some really good games. I would disagree. Like Sunday saved it. Like if you go look up at these scores, the first two or the first 4 days, a lot of them are games that aren't close.
Yeah,
like there are a lot of games. Now Sunday, that Florida UConn game was a good one. And Michigan State and New Mexico was good for a while, but even that stretched out. Last night, Oregon Arizona was pretty good, but really it's been pretty chalky, which to me is why I'm cool with it.
I was going to say you better be cool with it. I remember you complaining because of the damn Final Four was so raggedy a couple years ago.
I like a good amount of madness. And maybe a couple of Colorado states in there, like one or two.
Yeah.
But like that's the first part, and then but once you get to the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, Final Four, I like to see the really good teams and the good talent go up against each other, and I think that's something when Arkansas is the highest seeded team left, that is something. So it should be entertaining. It should be some good games.
From a man that's watched it all and watched it all year long, I mean, do my Hogs have a real shot? Or I'm going to ask you this. Or do they have a real shot? And I know, look, with Calipari and the obvious the stars that are behind these guys' name, the way that you can build a team now, the transfer portal, I get it. It's not a legit Cinderella. But or do they have a real shot, or are they closer to, boy, if they
so
pull it off?
Me there's a chance.
If they pull it off, it's going to be, no, it's going to be Cinderella-ish.
I think they have the more talented team, just natural talent. Now, that shooting thing can be a problem for Arkansas. They have weathered both of these games and not shot the ball well from three. And I think Texas Tech is going to test that by zoning. But their length is going to give Texas Tech problems. So, I mean, they just have athletes and players all over the place. So they have a shot. And I don't think it would be a crazy upset if they got Texas Tech. Right, like I mean, St. John's was really good all year long, and Arkansas really controlled that game from the whole time. So yeah, your Hogs got a shot.
Tyler, you betting on them?
I might. I got to see these lines. I gotta think about that one.
Yeah, I agree with Champ Slice, Champ. But they've seen them have a shot against Tech. At Florida, things a different situation. If you're able to get through Tech. At Florida, and they had some struggles, and they played a tight game against UConn that has good talent too. But and they can hit you from so many angles. So if you get through Tech, man, it's already all right. This is already a successful season.
Hell yeah.
Year one, right? Sweet 16 for Arkansas. It's already a successful season. Houston, Houston really about pissed me off. I came out Friday missing. I said, hey, there ain't no chance.
Go Cougs!
No worries against Gonzaga. People was having some concerns, and it was going that way. It was like a 9-12-point game the whole way, and then Houston just started to just self-destruct there for a second, then before they turned it up and got it going. But they they got a pretty good roll ride in front of them as well too. So it should be fun. The story of the weekend though was the game with Arkansas and St. John's, mostly Calipari and Rick Pitino.
Yeah.
And then that's what we thought was going to be the deal, but then it became Rick Pitino's interesting thing, and I want to play this and discuss this a little bit, because this there is nothing like a good college coach, whether it's football or basketball, that has, as Clint would say, pelts on the wall, that's done it. Hell, they might even be a Hall of Famer, because that's the sport where you can be a Hall of Famer and still be in it. That you just can't tell them nothing. And then when they get questioned even about fair stuff, they get themselves good and pissed off. I envision Nick Saban at the podium getting pissed off at people and like, how dare y'all ask me this? I can have every last one of y'all asses removed around here. So at the end of the game against Arkansas, his best player, R.J. Lewis Jr., second team All-American, Big East Player of the Year, average 18, over 18 a game, 7 rebounds, their best player.
He sucked that day.
Yeah, he was 3 for 17. But Rick just sat here, man, go ahead, man, just ride this bench the rest of the way the last 5 minutes of the game, man. Yeah, not coming back in, just rolling with the rest of them. He had other guys foul out too. And of course, the questions after the game for the media is what went along the thinking of you benching your best player for the final 5 minutes?
You had RJ on the bench, you know, for a pretty long stretch at the end. Was that just because he just wasn't making them, or was there something more to it?
Played 30 minutes. It's a long time.
So he was tired?
No, played 30 minutes and I went with other people. You already know the answers, Roger. You're asking leading questions. You already know it. So don't ask leading questions. You already know why he didn't play.
What was the reason?
Oh, my.
Because he was missing?
Somebody's upset.
Rough night?
I don't know. I'm going to assume it was because he was struggling in the game. But again, if that, like, that's the only logical thing, unless he cussed out Rick and we missed it or something else happened.
Yeah, right.
But I don't think that is the case. It is because he was 3 for 17 and he was struggling. I think it's a very fair question to wonder. Hell, I mean, the best player on the team?
Yeah.
He left the game. They were down by 2. They ended up losing by 9. But he left the game. They're down by 2. Like, it's got to be, like, it's got to be really, 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 really bad for me to just hit the bench with my best dude, right? And then at least, like, you like the coach like that. Like, don't come in and respond as if you're being asked something that don't make sense to you. That's just like a crazy ass.
You had to see that coming from a mile away.
Of course. Like, yeah. You know that, like, talking about your leading questions. Like, that one is wild to me. I think he's in. First off, the decision, and listen, Rick Pitino knows more basketball than I'll ever know. But that one, if I was a St. John's fan, I got a real issue. Well, I got a real issue.
It's hard to, I mean, I'm a believer in going down with your best. I mean, I'm a ride or die kind. I mean, if you're my guy, especially if you're an All-American, second team All-American, I mean, if I get beat, it's going to be because you weren't good enough. It's not going to be because you were sitting on a bench next to me the last 5 minutes of the game.
I've at least got to use you as a decoy.
No question.
Something.
No question.
Something. I mean,
a lot of teams lose out of the playoffs, and in this case, out of the tournament. A lot of teams lose when their superstar's not on, doesn't have an on night.
Yes. But I mean, not that they ride to the bench.
No question.
I appreciate it though, Rick. I said it to you before the show. How many times would Derek Stingley have to be beat to have to be benched the final five minutes?
There ain't enough. Short of an injury, there ain't enough.
He could get beat for four
Nico,
touchdowns.
Nico, Joe, CJ, Will, Daniil.
Yeah, you're right. How many interceptions in a playoff game would CJ have to throw to grab the bench in a close game?
He'd have to set a record because he ain't coming out. He'd have to set a record. I'm going. This ship's going down with CJ Stroud, not Davis. Right. I promise you that.
Yeah, that's a little strong.
I promise you that.
I forget the alternative. Has to
well,
be
I mean,
Davis.
You went All American to the bench.
Yeah,
I mean,
you went all. Yeah, it's just I couldn't. Someone said, "Did Marino throw 6? Hell, he'd have thrown 7." I'd at least handed it off with him as a decoy. That's my part. Is man, that's like three for 17, man. All right, man, keep shooting. I mean, or whatever. Or maybe he ain't got it today. We're going to roll somewhere else. But, damn, not on the bench.
Boy, in a day and age where you think it's a little more player-friendly, coaches got to kind of conform. He said, hell, Rick said, I'm going go the other direction.
You think RJ's contemplating, well, hell, I think I might make me a move.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And they kept showing him two boys. CBS or whoever had that, they ain't no they ain't slick, but they kept every couple of minutes, every couple of seconds, they kept showing him
his. He just had that
look of disgust on his, like he was handling like a nice kid, but he just had that look of the look in his eyes looked like Kentucky. Duke.
Maybe walking down the court. How about them hogs, baby?
And the Fox, man, I just about to say something. But I mean, Rick just, nah, I'm out. Nah, we ain't doing that. That was wild to me, but story of the tournament, man.
Wasn't this the crew earlier in the year? Rick was calling them soft and all. I mean, Rick was going hard on them, wasn't
he? Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
The problem with this generation?
He's multiple coaches did it, but Rick was one of them. Yeah, he came in his guys, yeah, but no, you're right. Like, you know, you go coming into that thing, you know, coming into that press conference, that's where this thing is going to be at. You know, you got to answer that question.
Absolutely.
And I don't hear nobody, you hit me with a leading question. What do you mean a leading question? Rick, I have no idea why
you know the answer to that question. No,
do I? I'm asking you.
Yeah, no, that's the craziest thing we've seen in the tournament this year. What the hell you think?
If I was a St. John's fan, that was a tough one to swallow. That's a tough one right there to deal with right there. Even me, Tyler, you know how I feel about Hunter Dickinson. He can't be on the bench at the end.
No, man. In all seriousness, he was playing like ass, but that offense. Dude got you to where you were.
And I know for you, you had a tough weekend too. Wade, but he was rifling up some shots there. But first half was rough. But he ain't going to the bench. Not at the end. Sorry about you, Aggies, man.
It's all good, man.
That damn thing.
Life of being an Aggie.
We'll
you know?
Take you, man. Come over here.
That damn thing turned quick.
We got the fighting Ron to show Hughley's on Thursday and turn around on Saturday and got them old fighting Spike Lee's. Hell of a run by them hogs so far.
Hell yeah.
This is the one that gets me from the text line. Guys, I just think Patino isn't gonna throw a player under the bus to a reporter so he can put it online or on the paper or something. What? No, he just did it in the game.
Yeah.
He just did it for the final 5 minutes where everyone just kept sitting there looking at him sitting on the bench.
Yeah, I'd say having your best player riding the bench the last five minutes is a version of throwing him under the bus.
With the camera just rolling over there on him.
Yeah, it's I know there's a lot of fans that disagree, but I don't know where we've gotten to when a coach can't say, hey man.
Yeah,
he was 3 for 17, man. He wasn't shooting it well, man.
I had to go a different route.
Yeah, it's still a stupid ass decision.
But I mean, that's clearly, I guess, what it had. It's the only thing it had to be.
Yeah.
There wasn't no way where you're like, yeah, you know what? I think we got a better chance with Mike here. All right. Clint wasn't here. The last time Clint was here, Trent Brown wasn't a Houston Texan. And I know you've got some thoughts on what that move means overall. We'll hear that from Clint coming up next as we continue right here live on The Drive.
Had a big ass.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
The old office pool is what's going on in here. We got him up here and
I got to send in a correction.
Oh, you got to send in a correction? Dug down and looked at a correction.
Found a correction on mine. Got to get it right, boss man.
I know Tyler's in bad shape after.
I don't know how similar my paper one is to my digital one.
I remember your paper one had A&M going deep.
Like I real. Had that on the digital one, too.
Like, real deep. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, say it up here.
I mean, you got A&M and Houston in the final.
Yeah, you got them in the final. That's right. You have Wisconsin in the final, don't you?
I mean,
you?
Were you trying to win?
Yeah.
You have Wisconsin in the final, right?
I did.
Were you trying to win?
Well, yeah.
Them Badgers.
They almost came all the way back.
Yeah.
My man Tanji just got that one piece of hair that hangs right here.
Hell of a name.
Oh, John. One piece of hair. Another one of these fellows who's been to about three schools. Went to Missouri last year, didn't play. All right, Clint, when you were out, Trent Brown, which to me was, again, they are signing these tackles. Not as many on the interior were, you know, it felt like it was more the issue, but now, like, they signed Trent Brown, who, if you forgot, 9-year veteran. He played 3 games with the Bengals last year. He tore his patella tendon, so that's kind of one to watch with his injury. But he had good years with the Patriots, the Raiders, played with the Niners. And Luke, you missed it. Luke came out the gates smoking fire, and he said he thought that he thought Trent Brown was a better tackle than Cam Robinson. So.
Oh my God!
And then when posed the same question with Titus Howard, he took too long with his answer. So it was a struggle for me there as well. But
holy smokes!
They signed him after signing Cam Robinson earlier in the week, and obviously they traded Laremy Tunsil. But now at this point, they've got Titus, who is a starting tackle, Blake Fisher, who started the tail end of the year last year, including multiple playoff games. Cam Robinson, who has 101 starts at left tackle in his career, including starting the last 2 years at left tackle in Jacksonville and Minnesota. And now they add Trent Brown as well. All these tackles. Where is this taking you with the Trent Brown signing?
Well, look, this is the direction that I think it's, first and foremost, to me, is D'Amico and Nick Cayley, they have got to be sick and tired of playing guys out of position due to injury, right? Like, the depth across the board last year was very, very suspect, right? I mean, across the board. One would say the starting lineup, the starting five was suspect across the board. But the reality of it is your depth was a major problem, right? And what I see him going out and doing now Trent Brown, at his age and at his size, he may not be able to give you but 6 or 8 games, right? But you've got, and maybe he can give you a full season, I don't know. But when you look at the tackle depth right now, I mean, you're 2 injuries away from Nick Broeker having to back up a guy at tackle. I mean, remember that last year? I mean, you got Titus Howard bumping down and playing guard, and you got Broeker potentially, you know, who is, I'm guessing maybe he was just the best suited to try to play tackle, but I'm pretty sure that he's a guy that needs to be inside, right? He was 1 injury away from needing to play tackle at a time when you needed it. You needed him to be a backup guard, right? And so, you know, your guard situation, you look at, I mean, you had to move Titus Howard down there because the depth at your guard situation, your guard positions was thin, right? Was suspect. So, I think, to me, with all of these moves at the tackle position, and even the moves interior-wise, again, I think it's
just...
Are you
surprised it's more at the tackle position than
yes.
it has been?
Yeah. No question. I'm shocked that there was not bigger splash, more aggressive, riskier moves taken at the interior offensive line position.
They have 4 tackles now that you could say... Am I right on that? Yeah, 4 tackles now that could be starting caliber, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, look, but I mean, this has got to be, we're going to create competition. We want to bring in dudes that play the game at a nasty level, even if they do have some flaws and they're not as good pass protection as obviously Laremy Tunsil and even Titus Howard on his best days. This has got to be a depth play.
That's what I was thinking.
And a physicality play. Like a mentality every day, like how are you wired as an offensive lineman? Like all of these moves have to first and foremost be, it seems to me, it's more about depth and physicality. Depth and mentality, and how do you approach the game on a daily basis, and how have you had success to date? Are you nasty? Are you a dog? And they're going to hope that pans out better than a bunch of high-paid guys that, as Larry would say, we're wearing skinny jeans and posting on Instagram. So that is, we'll see how that plays out, because there's a lot of work to be done inside. I'm blown away with what the decisions that they've made. I don't dislike any of the decisions.
I'm about to say, what do you mean? Are you blown away in a positive manner?
No, just the direction. The direction. I mean, again, I mean, you got to remember, we've heard every decision maker in the building over there since the season last year talk about fixing the pass protection from the inside out, fixing the offensive line from the inside out. We heard the head coach when asked specifically, how do you grade offensive linemen? Can they pass protect? And every guy they brought in here, you can argue has struggled recently in the pass protection department. You can argue that every move that they made, none of them were aggressive moves that were, hey man, we got to protect our quarterback at all costs, even if it costs us a little bit more money, and we got to be aggressive early in free agency. Like none, they didn't do any of that. They didn't do any of that. They've taken their time. They've been super patient. They moved out the best pass blocking lineman that they had on the whole team. They signed a bunch of
bargains.
Yeah, absolutely. Whether it's a 1-year deal or a $2 million deal, a bunch of bargain deals. And most of those bargain deals, the most impressive ones are at the tackle position, right? Even if you give Laken Tomlinson a chance to be like a true blue starting guard, above average starting guard, even if you give that, even if you accept that, and that's not how I view it. We'll see how it pans out. But even if they think that, you're still a couple of guys short inside.
Yeah.
So yeah, the path to me is more of like, well, I'm like, what the hell's going on? But the actual individuals and the actual like temperament in that room changing, I think they've. I mean,
does this mean that they view Titus as a guard now to you? With all of the tackles that they like, all
that's the scary part, because I just don't believe. Now I think if you're gonna do that, now's the time to make the decision. Move him in there, let him play guard. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. But I believe that Titus Howard is better suited to be a tackle, and I believe that he'd be one of the better tackles on his team if they'd let him play tackle. I think he's out of position at the guard position. So for that to be a fix and an answer now would be a very interesting move. Be very interesting.
It's definitely on the table, right? I mean, like, on the table.
The numbers will tell you it is. It's what's going to happen.
Yeah, because, Blake Fisher and Trent Brown being your swing tackle, that's a lot of swing tackles.
And
guys that you don't envision that can play multiple positions, right? Like, I don't get the sense that Trent Brown can play others like guard or center.
Well, Blake
Fisher.
The interesting thing is you got a second round pick that has maybe a bright future at the tackle position, and you've got a couple of older players that you signed that even if they are the best version of themselves at this point in time, according to what you paid Titus Howard, you think more highly of him. And now the plan is going to be to bump him inside. It's. Again, I don't. The path that they've taken has been really, really interesting to me.
Yeah.
But the guys that they've signed, I think are going to be really, really, really good in a sense of flipping that O-line room.
All right, coming up. Speaking of that, they got a little cash to do some more potential adding more pieces with the cash they still have under the cap. We'll kind of look in what could be options there. But before that, we got some. Important news for a member of this show. Important news that we've got to discuss coming up next right here live on The Drive.
Hughley has came in the game.
Live from the Mokarum Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. The whole crew is here and ready to roll today. As always, Tyler, good to see you in the building. Clint, good to see you in the building.
Good to see you, bro.
Brandon on YouTube and Twitch in our last conversation. Bargain shopping is how you get ahead.
Yeah, getting ahead and winning the Super Bowl is two different things.
That's a way to look at it. Getting ahead.
Yeah, look. I mean, I'm. Let me ask you this, boys.
That's a take.
Just from a talent perspective, do you think this offensive line is better right now than they were a month ago?
I'd say yes. No. But not that doesn't mean that they're an upper echelon unit around the NFL or anything.
I mean, you're still at a point where in order to say that, you'd have to play Tytus Howard at guard,
which is the scary part.
And you would have to think that Laken Tomlinson is
resurgent.
Just simply so much better than Juice Scruggs or Kenyon Green to offset the Laramie Tunsil to Cam Robinson or Laramie Tunsil to Trent Brown. So, I mean, it's a conversation, right? And the thought coming into this with the Texans offensive line was...
I don't even know I have the answer to that question you just...
That's the scary part.
I'm still trying to put it together.
You're still... In order to put the best five on it, which I hate that phrase and that verbiage anyway, but in order to put the best five players on the field right now, you would have to move Tytus Howard to guard.
Because, like, right now, if they had to go play a game today, their starting offensive line would be Cam Robinson. Probably, you're right, probably Tytus Howard. Probably Juice Tomlinson and...
Whichever the tackle you want.
Blake or Trent Brown.
Trent Brown at your right tackle?
Probably... I guess Blake Fisher? Yeah. Is that better than Tunsil, Tytus, Patterson, Mason, and
Blake Fisher? Or Mason or Scruggs?
Yeah. Because Tunsil is clearly the most talented guy out of all of them.
Yeah.
Just talent-wise, not the other stuff that I do think they made a lot of sense. To move on from.
Well, the thing is, and not to get too deep into that conversation because it was more of a rhetorical question. Like the, you know, the thought for the Texans coming into it would be, oh, by this time they will have bulked up that interior offensive line and it's going to be off to the races. Let's ride. Let's go. Even if they like my thought was blow it up, move on from Tunsil. Still, hey man, based on everything we heard, just bulk up that interior offensive line. We'll help tackles if we need to. Let's get this thing right. And that's just not what's happened. So, you know, even if you like the moves, which I'm not opposed to the moves, even if you like the moves, you still got to sit there and go, is this really a better offensive lineman? Have we improved our chances of making a run?
Text line coming through, overall talent, no. Hopefully the coaching is the difference maker.
Yeah.
It should be.
Agreed. There's no doubt about it.
Right now, what they're looking at, that's what the hope is.
Well, the saving grace, and this is, I think, the better way to look at Houston, right? Instead of debating, you know, is the talent better or worse? Is this, like, the reality of it is with the Texans' offensive line problem, there were so many layers to it. And I don't know that any one layer, like, I don't know that talent trumped all the other problems just head over heels, right? Like, I think the scheme suck. Clearly the communication was bad. Clearly the coaching, just like the ability to cut through to the players and get them to understand what you want them to do, clearly that was not good. Yes, the talent was an issue. I think C.J. Stroud not having command and not having the ability to change things from a quarterback perspective, I think that was a problem. You know, C.J. and Bobby wanting to hold the ball and drive it down the field, I think that was a problem that contributed to it. So all you got to do, if you can just, which has got to be how they're looking at this thing, Ron. That's got to be how they're looking at this thing. Like, no, we're not. We don't expect Nick Caley to come in and just be, you know, Andy Reid overnight. You know, we don't expect any of these offensive linemen that we're coming in to be Tytus Howard. I mean, Laramie Tunsil. You know, we don't expect Cole Popovich, the offensive line coach, to be the best offensive line coach. But all of them being just a tick better will give us a better offensive product, which all together will give C.J. Stroud a much better chance to play winning football.
Yeah,
that's got to be the thought here.
Yeah, yeah. And as of right now, we'll see. We'll see what they add in the draft. As we talked about, there's still some moves, free agency or trade wise, that we'll see if they make. But probably not the route, as you said, probably not the route you were expecting to see it go. All right. Got a little news about a member of the show. Oh, Tyler Milner. Tyler Milner is going to be with us tomorrow. But in the 5 o'clock hour, old Nighthawk Chris Santiago is going to take over.
A.K.A. Clay Thompson.
Because Tyler has to get out of here. Because what is your new role now, Tyler? A member of the executive producer of the number one sports show in all of Houston.
Oh, that sounds good.
What is your
I've had some responsibilities bestowed upon me.
Oh, bestowed.
Graciously been asked and graciously accepted a position as a local Houston media representative on the Texans fan council.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Do we know what this consists of?
Not really.
Isn't it the same thing that, like, Larry was on last year?
Yes.
I think, what's her name? The Texans.
Debbie the Texans been on the fan council, yeah.
Yeah, so you're on the...
coming in making some noise. Let's go!
Well, I mean, like, what? Like, I'm curious to know, like, what your responsibility is going to be. Like, what is a media member? What is a media member? Like, what? Why does that make you any different? Why are you not just a member of the fan council?
I don't know. I really don't know. I'm going to have to report back on Wednesday after I go to this first meeting tomorrow night over at NRG.
Is that tomorrow?
It's tomorrow.
It is tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
So, is your game plan? I think you need to be extremely aggressive.
Oh, I'll set the tone.
I mean, is your role has to be something along the line of, like, let's keep everything and everybody involved, keep it transparent. Like, I'm a member of the media. Yeah. Like, this is how it went down. If anything was to
go
sideways.
I'm always down with some good old-fashioned transparency.
Okay.
I'll be there for the people, with the people, amongst the people. It's going to be a good time.
Oh, that's good. That is really good.
Yeah, man. We got a member of the drive on the Texans fan
council. It says join the dynamic group of fans that inspire the new Texans uniforms and H-Town made as a part of the fan council.
That's a lot of pressure.
You will engage in exciting discussions throughout the season on topics such as game entertainment, fan experience.
This is right up your alley.
Annual marketing campaigns and so much more.
Tyler, wow. I think you should wear a tank top in there and show your tattoos off.
Oh, yes, at least a cutoff.
Should I go tank?
Yep.
I got some pretty good ones.
You got some good tanks. Yeah, get
welcome
in there and go tank.
To the gun show.
Like, I don't mind walking there like that, but yeah, I mean you're a tank guy. You're a tank and Vans guy.
Yeah, that's true.
I think
true.
You should do it, man. Show the tats. I think the tats are what puts you over the...
When I leave here at 5 o'clock, just switch on over to a tank real quick.
Yeah, don't wear it before. You'll end up pink by the time you get over there. You can't be out in that sun too long with that fair skin now, Chief.
Guilty. I am pasty.
Don't be going to sit on a patio drinking Manhattan.
You're going to be one of 60 members.
Oh, yeah, 60.
That's what I'm saying. The meat, he's got to keep people honest or something. Which, that's scary.
I want to say there might be like two or three of us media folk.
Oh,
I'm going to need you to report back on who that is.
Oh, I will. I can't wait to see who.
I can't wait to see what you did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, they listened to you on this show and they said, damn it, this is a job.
That's psycho.
For Tyler Milner. This right here, this is a job for Tyler Milner.
Hey, thank you, Tyler Milner.
As I said, I think you need to be aggressive and take this bitch over.
Hey, yeah. Sit in the front row, man. You going to sit in the front row? Don't be a back row
sit,
Joe.
Go get
oh,
you,
no. I've never been a back row
Joe. Don't get a phone or your computer. Get you one of them yellow notepads right up front.
Vigorous notes.
And take your contacts out. Wear your glasses. And really get after it. And I don't even care if you agree with everything. Have, like, five questions in the whole
set. Okay.
Like, I mean, really, like, yes, like, set the tone for this thing.
I like where your head's at. I'm like excited, man. Like it's going
to
be fun.
Like, right now, I want people to text in. Like, what if you were on, if you were Tyler, like what kind of things you would want you'd Tyler to bring up in that fan council?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what kind of things, what did they say? It was a lot about the in-game experience.
I was about to say, like, the fan experience.
Game day entertainment.
I don't know if you're going to be able to trump the jerseys, man. The fact that the last year's crew had the jersey input, man, that's big.
They set a standard.
Yeah, I would propose Cecil get a raise. and more,
oh, hell
and
yeah,
more, and more, more Cecil Shorts the third.
Oh, hell yeah. You're on to some there. I like
that. I want Cecil to start parachuting out.
Yeah, can we suspend Cecil from the ceiling a couple times a game?
Maybe he can just be wearing the Toro head, not like the full mascot, but maybe Cecil could have the Toro head on as he suspends down the field.
No, you can't make a Cecil Toro. No, that's Toro. Toro's already. Now you're pissing Toro
off. Well, no, it wouldn't be Toro. It'd be more of a, what are those called? Like the half man, half bull. It'd be more like a centaur.
Yeah, no, I think Cecil's a good-looking dude. I think covering his head would be a first mistake.
Champ Slice, find ways to make fans to get to their seats before kickoff. Now, listen, this is a fan council, not Jesus.
I'm on it, though.
I'm not trying to make.
I'm here to find answers, Ron. I'm on it.
Well, yeah. I don't know if that's the place to find that answer. Right? Like, I mean, we're not expecting you to turn water into wine and feed.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Feed people, everybody, with two loaves of bread.
A few fish. Maybe a churl burger.
All right, coming up this week, very, very soon, the Astros start this thing up. And we don't know exactly what the opening day roster will be, but this is what I want to discuss, and you chew on this through the break. Do you think you need Cam Smith to make the opening day roster? Does he need to be on the roster out there to start against the Mets? That's coming up next.